Yeah. Hey. Hey. Well. Yeah. Goonies never say die. You know what time it is. We got horror suspense. Listen, Kevin Trapp digging in the bin. Dirty dancing in Encino, man. Never know what you'll find in Uncle Doug's bin. What's in the bin? Yeah, Uncle Doug's bin. He's got all these clicks from way back when. Marty McFly and the DeLorean. Gotta love the Cage and whatever he's in. Face off snake guys, you know it's a win. What's in the bin? Yeah, Uncle Doug's bin. What's in the bin? Yeah, Uncle Doug's bin. What's in the bin? Yeah, Uncle Doug's bin. What's in the bin? Yeah, let's begin.
Welcome to Uncle Doug's DVD Bin, the podcast where we take your favorite movies, give you some facts, tell you the plot, and there might even be a few jokes along the way. I'm your host, Kevin.
And I'm your host, Travis. Oh, Kevin, it's been so long. It's good to see you, bud.
Oh, man, like the greatest band of all time, Stained, once said, it's been a while.
Huh. Interesting perspective out of you, but it has been a while. I can't argue that part, that very specific part of what you just said.
It seems like you may not be on Team Stained, and that kind of, I mean, I'm not saying that I'll have to just leave this podcast immediately and possibly hunt you down, most dangerous game style, because you don't like the band Stained, but it would be a possibility.
Kevin, you just don't, you know, we take some time apart and you just don't change. And that's what's beautiful.
But you don't, even the song, It's Been a While, you don't like It's Been a While. Come on, man. You don't like
It's Been a Minute since I've heard it, to be honest.
All right.
I dare not quote the lyrics of the song when I'm referring to the song.
I mean, what about some, you're out there playing a little hardtop basketball. All right. You're drinking a little Code Red Mountain Dew and Stain's Mud Shovel comes on. You telling me you're not bopping with that one?
No, I do. I tell you what, I groove to the shovel.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'll give you that one.
Hey, man, in my mind, I wish we had money to actually get music on the show. Like we could have The Boys Are Back in Town, Back in Black.
What about Danger Zone? Did that little Kenny Loggins bring us in tonight? That'd be great.
I mean, I was trying to go with like a coming back sort of theme, you know.
Coming back to the danger zone.
Okay, all right, I'll go with it.
We just change some of the words. If he's going to come on and perform for us,
Whoa, I didn't mean we had like Kenny Loggins come on and perform for us money. I'm not trying to be greedy. I'm not trying to be Joe Rogan.
You're just trying to license something.
Yeah. Get like, I think you can play like a snippet of a song for free. And then like if it goes past snippet length, which I'm entirely unsure from a lawyerly standpoint, how long a snippet is. But then after that, you got to pay for the song.
Oh, because I was recently on the podcast called The Skippables, and they played clips, and I just thought that we were all going to be sued at the end of it. But we never were, so those guys must know.
Oh, no, you are.
They know the rules.
Yeah, no, they actually really reached out and let me know. Yeah.
Oh, God.
I don't have to tell you on the show like this, but yeah, you probably are going to have to get a second mortgage, maybe a third.
Yeah, it's worth it, kind of.
It was. I actually listened to that. You guys covered some AC/DC.
Mm-hmm. Both of them, the AC and the DC. That's right.
Yeah, that's part. You don't want to do one without the other, really. Yeah. That'd be a rude way to end a date. But what I'm trying to tell you is we're back in black and we're headed to the danger zone is what I'm trying to say. Man, it has been a while. What have you been up to, dude?
Oh, nothing.
Cool. Well, I got to tell you.
Sorry, I thought some more stuff. Stand-up, improv, podcast, you know, not a lot's changed for me, Kev, but
garbage,
you're out there lifting weights and working out and you're doing all kinds of stuff. You've transformed into a muscle-bound man.
Yeah, I was trying to train for this Top Gun episode because I know the way you were lusting after all the shirtless boys in this movie, and I thought, well, maybe I could keep Trav interested in the podcast if I'm
okay.
Just
first of all,
muscling around,
they're men.
Okay, all right,
they're men. Okay, not boys. We don't call them that. These are grown men.
Okay, all right.
And I did elect not to wear a shirt for this episode for that reason. You're right. Except I didn't work out like you did. That's the difference.
And you have what I would refer to as a troubling amount of chest hair.
Yeah.
Like it's
what's weird though, no back hair. I'm like a cracker with mold on one side.
You know, I thought it maybe migrated for the seasons.
Hmm. I never thought about that.
Yeah, like maybe it just moves to your back to kind of protect you in the summer, you know, so you don't get a sunburn back there. You know, moves to your chest in the winter to keep you warm, you know?
Wow, smart hair. That's Elon Musk needs to do that instead of whatever he's doing now.
Well, great. We've established that neither one of us are doing anything of interest, and we can just move on with the podcast, because I got to tell you, our boy Doug, by the way, you have been neglecting one Douglas.
I haven't been to see him for a while. Last couple times I've been over there, he just talks my ear off, and I can't stand it, Kev.
Well, he was a little lonely, but I've got some news on that front, okay? So I have been holding up my end of the bargaining and visiting Uncle Doug whenstever he would like me to do so. And so I get a little ring, ringy-ding, on my landline, because that's the one he wants to call.
Oh, sure.
I have to keep the landline just to talk to Doug. You know how it is.
Yeah, it's just Doug and knee brace ads all the time.
That's it. That's all I get. And those little copper knee braces that, Tony Romo sells. It's not Tony Romo. It's Troy Aikman. Anyway, doesn't matter. One of those retired quarterbacks sells. They're great, by the way.
Yeah.
Anyway, I get a call. I think it's for the knee brace. Really excited because I put an order in. It wasn't. Turns out it was Uncle Doug. All right. I pick it up and I say, you know, hello, because that's what you do when you answer a phone. I know you don't ever talk on a phone, but generally that's the etiquette.
I hate the phone.
Which is another reason you probably don't see Doug as much as you like. So anyway, I say hello, and Uncle Doug says, get over here now, click.
Whoa.
That's it. Okay.
Wow.
So I think, oh my God, you know, what's going on? Is it an emergency? So hop in the truck. I drive over there. I park at the end of the driveway and walk up because, you know, you don't want to drive up to Uncle Doug's house. That's a good way to get shot. You need to come up with respectful manner, you know? And so I knock on the door. He said, get in there. And so I walk in, and Uncle Doug, all right, I want you to picture this. He's got on his best pair of Wranglers.
Okay. I know the ones.
Crease in the front.
Yeah.
All right. He's wearing his best Western snap shirt.
And when you say that, that's the one he got from the Best Western.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was left in the room. But it's a nice shirt, you know?
Yeah,
and it's got the American Eagles on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got pomade in his hair. His hair is slicked back. All right?
Right. And
he's
Dapper Dan.
Very Dapper Dan style, and the sleeves are rolled up, and I think, oh, my God, Uncle Doug's all dressed up. Someone's died. Like, he's going to a funeral.
Oh,
like, what's happened?
Yeah. You're right. You described his funeral ensemble. Yeah.
And I was like, wow. I was like, Uncle Doug, who died? And he said, well, nobody yet. And I was like, okay, well, that's disconcerting.
Every time with that.
Turned out just a little bit of Uncle Doug sass. But what it was, Travis, is he needed me to come over because Uncle Doug, I'm ready to lay some serious stuff on here, has a lady friend.
What? No, Uncle Doug?
Yes. All right, so you know how he goes down to the VFW for the blood drive, right?
Wait, you think he's finally over Aunt Kathy? He's ready to move on?
I think he's ready, man. I mean, it has been 15 years, maybe
That's
20
true.
At this point.
Yeah.
So down at the VFW, you know, he went down there. He did his blood donation. Turns out he hit it off with a plumbologist. I think that's the way you say it. Is that what you call a person that gets blood, a plumbologist? Plumbologist?
I wouldn't call him that.
Phlebotanist. That's it. Man, nailed it. Anyway, he hits it off with her. They've got a date. How about that?
Ooh, wait.
And he wanted me to come over, check out his outfit to make sure it was okay to wear for a first date.
I was looking at the calendar because I was like, oh, first date. He's definitely taking her to the Bristol race, but that's not for a while. Where'd they go?
They went to Hardee's.
Oh, not bad.
Yeah, they went to Hardee's, and then he said, I'm going to teach her how to play pool.
Oh, that's not bad. They don't have pool at Hardee's, but...
No. I mean, somewhere else. They were going to go additional after that. Probably Lucky
cool.
Charlie's. Yeah, and that wild Uncle Doug has, like, a lady friend.
That is
like,
neat.
I was so excited for him, man. He was nervous. He was all, like, just... I said something about it, and he tittered.
Get out of here. I don't even know what that means. Is that bad?
No, it's like a sort of a giggly laugh.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. Huh. It was very troubling. Speaking of your chest hair, it was almost as troubling as that.
Well, I get it from Uncle Doug, but good for him. Well, I guess that means I don't have to feel bad for not talking to him because he's got some company now. So that's good.
You might want to still stop by. I mean, you do mean a lot to him, so.
Sure. Yeah. Well, anyway.
Anyway, him and Trish had a great first date. I'm excited to be able to report more you know, in the love life of Doug as it progresses. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, he's not always been a lucky person in love. So,
well, we'll see. We have the rest of season three to goss about Uncle Doug's new fling, his new flame. So I'm excited to hear more about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I bet you want to hear more about the release date for Top Gun. All right. Now, that was May 16th, 1986. Now, Travis, I was just a wee fellow when this came out. How about you? You weren't even born yet, were you?
Oh, I was born. I was one, but okay. I was born. Yeah.
Okay, so we could have potentially seen this as very small children and not remembered it. So that's exciting.
I had just come out of my dad's front gun not long before the movie came out.
What is his rear gun? Just out of curiosity, I don't know that butt. I want to know, but oh, it's his butt. Okay, all right.
Yeah, it's
all
his
right.
butt. Come on, man.
That makes plenty of sense. All right. Well, it was released on May 16th, 1986, directed by Tony Scott. Kind of fun factoid about Tony Scott with this movie is he ended up getting hired by Jerry Bruckheimer because he had shot a Saab commercial that had an airplane in it. And he was just like, man, he seems like he knows how to shoot an airplane. Let's have him do a whole movie with them. So, hey, you never know, right? So the writers were Jim Cash, Jack Epps Jr., Uhud Hune, and starring Tom Cruise, Val Kilmer, and Kelly McGillis. There's a bunch of other people. Meg Ryan's in this one, Tom Skerritt, Tim Robbins. It's a heck of a cast, man.
It is. It really is. I hold that I still don't like Tom Cruise. And this movie, I think, made it worse.
Wow.
It made it work. It did. I fun fact for everyone, I had actually never watched this movie. Not that I never had the opportunity. My teenage sister loved this movie. And I think that made me hate the idea of the movie because I didn't want to like anything my sister liked for some reason. I was little and she was older and it was just a way to needle her about things. And I might have like clung to that a little too hard because it took me like 30 years to watch it. And I was like, oh yeah, I do hate this movie. I don't hate it, but. Boy, Tom Cruise. He's no savory character. We'll get into it.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
I mean, in the movie, we'll get to it.
You know what we ought to get to is 6 Degrees of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Now, if you don't know what that is, that's where dear, sweet, hand-holding Travis takes you and guides you from one movie, the last one that we did, to the current movie that we're doing vis-a-vis actors. So connects them a la 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. So in this movie, you know, Michael Ironside.
Yeah.
Right. He plays, what's the character's name? Is it Viper?
I believe it is. It's Jester.
Jester. I'm sorry. Yeah. Jester. Michael Ironside. I love Michael Ironside, dude. He's in sort of a, I don't know. It was like a made for Amazon movie called Turbo Kid not long ago. I really enjoyed. He's just one of those guys you love to see on screen. He was in a movie with, you remember True Lies, right?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that movie?
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah. You remember Arnold Schwarzenegger from that movie? He was the big guy with the muscles. Yeah. Can't drive
really?
Plane. There's a plane. There's a jet in that.
Really
one.
Funny. He was married to Tom Arnold for a while.
Yep. Yeah.
No, wait, hold on. I'm sorry. I was actually thinking Tom Arnold, and I meant married to Roseanne, but I said Tom Arnold, and that's where we find ourselves. I just didn't want anybody to feel like I didn't realize I was an idiot, so
I was going along with it because I was like, "Yeah, Kevin made a funny joke."
I thought you were just like, "Yeah, no, let's just keep the show going." Like, I don't want to slow down in your self-deprecation about Tom Arnold, but my joke didn't work.
Right. So anyway, Michael Ironside and Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was married to Roseanne in that movie with Tom Arnold.
Very good.
They were both in Total Recall together.
No, you know what, man? Seriously, don't be bringing my joke back and making it better than I did, all right? That's just rude.
What? I didn't do anything. God. Total Recall.
Oh, God, I hate him so much. I'm going to terminate you.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
The Terminator's not in Total Recall. It's fine.
No, but it's, you were going Total Recall. That's an Arnold movie, all right? And not True Love. Oh, you were going Total Recall's the next movie. Okay, and Michael Ironside.
Yeah.
He's in Total Recall. Yeah.
Yeah, they were in there together. So there's your link right there. Total Recall. Right there.
Dang.
Right there it is.
Crap, man. Could you just run that back by me again really quick?
Yeah, sure. So we got, you remember the, you You remember Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? He was the big guy from True Lies.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. You know Michael Ironside. He's the jester.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were in the same movie called Total Recall.
Huh.
That's your link. Yeah. True Lies was the last movie we covered, right? That was the end of the season two?
Yeah, it was the end of season two. We did a little bonus ep, if you haven't checked it out, with our pal Dylan talking about Goosebumps. So that was out there. You guys can check that out if you like. Well, Travis, you did it, man. You got that 6 Degrees of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I got a huge, hilarious joke in there that everyone's going to appreciate. You know what?
Oh, I missed it.
Oh, it was okay. All right, so you're just going to... Okay.
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. I was doing something else. What was it?
Yeah, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it. You can catch it when I edit it. So, how about those preview reviews, Travis? You go out and grab some of those reviews off the internet that kind of give us a little taste, a little flavor of the movie that we're about to talk about.
Oh, Kev, the people, the reviews for this film, I got to say, are... not the highest brow of review. We're not getting into Siskey and Eby. We're not getting into Siskel and Ebert territory here. It's not going to be high class stuff. All right. First one here. This is people who love it. All right. And the people who love it are horny.
Wow.
Yeah. The people that when you love it, you love it. Alesia, they give it a 5-star and say, wet in my bee.
Wet in my B.
I'm not sure what the B is.
Is that butt? Like they pooed themselves?
I don't know.
The movie was so good, they're like, yeah, uh-oh.
I don't know, but because I'm associating it with the 5-star part, this is a good thing for Alesia. They're into whatever this is.
Or like bed, like maybe they wet their bed. I don't think person's okay. I think they've got like some sort of bladder, perhaps, issue going on. I don't know that that's good, bud.
A lot of seepage.
5 stars, though. Five stars.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
5 stars. You can't argue the 5-star. Whatever they did, they had to change sheets, and it was still 5.
They sure did something with their front gun.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Maybe their rear.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that in a minute. But next.
You said it. You said but.
Yeah.
Am I meeting your brow level where you were saying this is pretty low brow, so I'm just trying to meet your brow at the same level.
You might have to go lower.
Okay.
So the next one here, this is a theme, by the way, just so people know. And these are not our words, to say that out loud. Okay. But there is a review here from There Is No Howie. Mm-hmm. They give it a 4.5-star. They say, I'm pretty gay, but this movie made me gayer.
So I guess this person thought that the characters in it were attractive to them, and they're of the same sex, and so they're like, wow, like it made me more attracted to the same sex. Am I reading that right or understanding it correctly?
I mean, that's the math I was doing.
Or they're just like, that's tricky. That's tricky. I'm going to draw out a chart while you cover the next one. Go ahead.
Okay. The next one is from someone who just simply goes by the name Mad. But they don't seem that mad. They seem rather happy because they gave this movie 4.5 stars, and they say, more like top gay, LOL.
Is this movie... Okay, I watched it, all right? And all I saw was pulse-pounding hot action, right? Is that gay?
I thought you were going to say pulse-pounding hot ass.
I mean, too, also...
To which I was going to agree with you.
Also...
Yeah, I think... I mean... There was a lot of, if I were gay, there was a lot in this movie that would have gotten me like real excited about watching it. And even I'm not gay, and I was like, I'm kind of turned on.
Wow.
So I mean, I could see it happening. I could see it. If you were on the fence, I think it'll push you off to the other side of the fence.
Because that'd be cool.
It's kind of like a propaganda movie for like Air Force enlistment or Navy enlistment.
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know. The defense sector is not the most liberal of sectors. So it was just weird that this would have been the choice propaganda.
Yeah, but there's so many hot dudes in it, though.
There's so many.
I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, you're promoting it right there.
So, I mean, I think there were like 2 women in the whole movie. The rest of it is just sexy dudes. So anyway, I agree with Mad. It's pretty good. And then people who were meh on it. All right, Kev, not everybody's going to love it, bud.
No, why not?
Some people are going to just, you know, like me, I thought it was kind of okay.
Wow.
Adam Bolt gives it 3 stars and says, I bought the soundtrack for this, but it's just Danger Zone 12 times.
Is that, I like the idea that there's a soundtrack that you can buy, and it's not just Danger Zone that plays, like, you would just turn the CD over, it would just play on loop.
Right.
It's actually on there 12 times. Like the
Did you just say the words turn the CD over?
No. Just the CD repeats itself. You know, like if you put it in your player, you know, it gets to the end, it's just going to play again, right? Like if it's a single, what, you don't have a Walkman?
I see what you're saying. All the analog tech
you got over there with your freaking Atari. You don't have a freaking Walkman. You know, bust my chops by owning CDs.
I wish I had a Walkman. That'd be cool. No, all right.
Uncle Doug was right about you.
12 times of Danger Zone. That's good stuff. so good. Okay, so then Thomas comes in. He's only given her 2 stars, mm-hmm. okay? 2 stars, but he says, if I was going to make a parody of this movie, I wouldn't change a single frame.
Done. That's the review. That's amazing. A movie that's so good at being itself, it's a parody of itself. Like, come on.
Right?
Come on.
Yeah. I mean, there was Hot Shots, which kind of spoofed parts of Top Gun, but it's right, man. If you look at this movie now through like the modern day lens, I watched it for the first time just this past week. It does feel like a parody of a different movie.
But do you think it's because so many action movies copied this movie's homework? They were like, well, that works. Let's do that.
Maybe. I mean, I got to say, dude, as much as I'm probably going to bash the movie for good fun, Tony Scott can frame a sunset.
Yeah, he can.
Like, there's so many great shots and action shots in the movie. So, yeah, maybe you're right. It was a blueprint. And then Maria, she gives it 3 stars, and she says, may I offer my scientific assessment? Not gay enough.
No, I'm really confused because some people said it was very gay and she says it's not gay enough. So where are we landing on the gay spectrum here? Like,
I think everybody's different, Kevin.
That's true. You know,
that's where I'm going to land.
I think that's a good place to land. I think we really ought to. I think we've all learned something today, but mostly Tom Arnold.
Well, it's better to land than to have to eject mid-flight because you're a reckless pilot.
Oh,
all right.
You silly goose.
2.5 stars here. We're getting lower and lower.
Oh, you still got more. I thought that was it. You got more of these. Okay.
But they were killing me. Kinda. I was laughing so hard finding these. I couldn't say no to a one of them. This is from a guy who used his full name. Look him up on LinkedIn. This is Jacob Elijah Tucker. Okay. He says, this film is very unrealistic because Tom Cruise does not meet the height requirement to be a pilot. 2.5 stars.
Yeah, I mean, he's a short king. What are you going to do? I can't be mad at the guy on that. Come on. You can't. Well, he might be diminutive, but he makes up for it in really weird grins.
Yeah, and like overly aggressive following women into the bathroom.
Yeah, that was really. I was like, why did she not punch him in the wiener? Like, that's so bad.
We'll get to it. I got more to say. Right. And then Mar, she gives it 1 star. And I say she because she has an avatar that looks like it's a lady. But I can't confirm anything here, folks. I'm just making wild assumptions. That's my bad. Mar says 1 star because this reminds me of my dad and I hate him.
Wow. You two like bonded over like you hate your sister. This reminds you of your sister. You know, that's.
Well, I love my sister. I was 5.
Oh, well, the way you laid it out there, it sounds like you've got some real grudges that you need to address in your next family therapy sesh.
I mean, I hate her now, but back then it was just playful kid stuff,
okay,
you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've grown into your hatred, really.
Yeah. No, I'm sissy. If you're out there, I love you. I'm just kidding around.
Does she still like Top Gun?
Oh, I'm sure. That's like the last movie she watched. She's so entrenched in the 80s. She still only listens to Whitesnake and has like a full hairsprayed out perm.
I'm going to be honest. Your sister sounds awesome.
She's not bad.
Yeah.
And then there's Max here. Max with 0.5 star. He couldn't be bothered to go full star.
Ooh.
That's what Max says, Kev. Buckle up. He says, nothing happens in this. I don't care about planes. Should have been called Bottom Gun. Eat my ass. they're all good. I loved all these reviews. They were so funny.
Could you read that one again, but read it like you're doing a very serious like a clip from a Wordsworth poem or something, just like very serious reading on that.
Max, half star. Nothing happens in this. I don't care about planes. Should have been called Bottom Gun. Eat my ass.
That's, dude, that's better than anything we're going to say for the next hour or so. Like, I just think we ought to call it now. Some planes move around. Tom Cruise rides a motorcycle. Goose dies. Merry Christmas. We're done. We're out.
Oh, wait, Goose dies?
Yeah. Did you miss that scene?
No.
Well, don't worry. We're going to, as Trav said, we're going to get to it. Now, when this movie opens up, I got to tell you, that 80s soundtrack starts pumping,
oh,
and I can immediately feel my heart becoming engorged with awesomeness.
Dude, I started thrusting a little bit on the couch, like, involuntarily. Just a little up and down. Like,
right?
You could see it from a distance.
Little case of the old up and down. You couldn't help it, man, right? Like, that song is just, like, it, and it rises. And I got to say, these opening credits go on way too freaking long. And but, oh, my God, my favorite part of them, as I had to pause it and sit and process it, is the title card. It says in like on March 3rd, 1969, the United States Navy established elite school for the top 1% of its pilots. And its purpose was to teach the lost art of aerial combat. And I was like, with, like, Orville Redenbacher did the first flight in 1909, right? Like, it's...
Sure. Yeah Orville like Redenbacher. He put down his popcorn, got his plane.
And then he flew his... It was definitely an Orville of some kind. In 1909, they gained and then lost the ability to do aerial combat in one dude's lifetime? Like, what is happening?
Dude, I laughed until tears came out of my eyes reading that. That's why I thought this movie is a parody. It has to be. It's so ridiculous.
Oh, God. Anyway, the school's called Top Gun and title card.
The guy who invented planes was still alive when this movie came out, I think.
Exactly. I mean, I would... If I were arguing, I would say maybe World War One, World War Two. There was more aerial combat. I don't know. It was just
you're right.
It just was one of the funny. It's maybe not the funniest thing in the movie, but it was pretty funny.
It would stand to reason during World War One, we lost a fair number of pilots, a number of which could have had a couple tricks up their sleeves that didn't get passed around before they died. That makes sense. We lost a ton of people in that war.
Oh man. But the whole opening sequence, you get the Top Gun title card. I just have my notes here, and it says, planes, bro, planes, danger zone, planes are the stars of the movie. I mean, that's a review right there. I mean, put that on, what website do you use, Letterboxd? Put that on there. People will love it.
Yeah.
Sure. They can eat my butt at the end, too. Like, that'll jazz it up a little bit. But the title...
Sure, I'll do that.
Is it just weird as, like, the titles in, like, the scroll here, or rather, and all the actor names and such? I mean, there's quite a few of them, right? But, like, it just goes on forever before you get to anything.
It really does, man. It just... They really wanted to show off this... what do they call it there? An air carrier? Airplane?
Yeah,
it carries
a lot.
They just wanted to show
air.
Off all the equipment. And all of the smoke.
Well,
and the mist.
After 45 minutes of opening credits, man, we get Mav and Goose, and they are up in the air with the other guys. Now, we get like a little bit of back and forth. I guess they're out on like maybe a training maneuver or scoping out the area. We don't really know, but they're up in the air. And we find out the boss, a fella named Stinger, who is played by the same actor. I can't remember his name, but he's like the principal in the Back to the Future franchise. You know, he's always the angry guy. You get a little indication that he does not care for Maverick's and Goose's, you know, laissez-faire.
Blaseness.
Yeah, their recklessness.
We said anus.
You stop it. Travis.
Is the guy you're talking about the guy who's in, like, the control center and he's just sweaty with a cigar the whole movie?
There was so much sweating.
Everybody's so sweaty.
I guess in an aircraft carrier, maybe they didn't have AC back then. Back on the ship, we get the idea that he doesn't really like them. Then all of a sudden, boom, there's a bogey. All right. Then we find out lots of plane jargon. They're just saying plane stuff. I don't know what any of it means. I did look up bogey. Apparently, they're just using bogey wrong the entire movie. Like, once you figure out what it is, it's not a bogey anymore, but they just keep calling them bogeys. completely.
What's it a bogey when you what does it become after it's a bogey?
Like hostile aircraft, you know, whatever. I don't know. Or you could you could have unidentified flying object UFOs, man. They don't call them that anymore. Yeah. Actually, they call them something else now. But doesn't matter.
UAPs.
We're getting really pedantic right now. And I'm sure
unidentified aerial phenomena. I know that. I listen to some podcasts. Don't worry about
it. God, I didn't. You listen to a podcast? When do you have time? You're on them all. So anyway, there's bogeys. There's lots of plane jargon about said bogeys. Then all of a sudden, bang, there's a second bogey. And these suckers.
Two bogeys?
Two bogeys. All right. That's one more that was in Casablanca. And so we find out that these are MiGs. Now, they never actually just say these are Russians for some reason. I don't know if it was a Cold War thing or whatever, but they never call them out as like Russians in this. But those were the planes flown by Russians, so they were probably Russian. And they also look like they were going fast.
They were going fast, and you're right. They never call that out. And you'd have to be kind of, I don't know, being from today, you hear MiG, you don't, that doesn't mean anything to us. I'm wondering if in the 80s, if the term, because of the Cold War, if MiG was just sort of understood as a Soviet aircraft. And I noticed they use MiG-28. I looked that up. That's not a real plane. That's a fictional plane. They actually used a different plane to represent that plane in this movie. But interestingly, on the NES, you know, I know the Nintendo quite a bit, there is a game called MiG-29 where you play as a Russian fighter plane, which is a weird game to release in North America.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
So, fun facts for everybody.
You did a Nest Friend video on the Top Gun game, didn't you? Am I just making that up?
No, not yet. Those games suck.
I remember that landing sequence being just an absolute nightmare.
That's it. That's the nightmare. Yeah.
But you know what's also a nightmare? Being in the air with two Russian MiG bogeys. Well, Travis, I don't mean to belabor the point here, but Maverick, despite being a real maverick, is a pretty darn good pilot. And so he does a little posturing, a little bit of maneuvering, and eventually scares the MiGs off, right? So they head off. But his pal Cougar, who's in the other plane, is really shook up, like hardcore shook up.
Well, I mean, in part of this maneuvering, he's going upside down.
Oh, and they take a picture. He's got like a
picture.
Got a Polaroid camera, and Goose snaps a picture. Seems unsafe. Flashing light. Plane moving fast. But hey, who am I to disagree with one Goose?
Oh, well, Goose is fine. I disagree with Maverick. You said he was a good pilot. I think he's dangerous. I don't think he flies safe. And I think he's a little bit too full of himself. He's reckless.
Wow. Are you in? Yeah, you. God, yeah. This. You,
I'm on the Russian side. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not. I hope we win.
You do have a real fascination with Putin for some reason. But anyway, we're moving away from that because
that's just all the bean paste.
Another butt joke. God, we are just, our brows keep getting lower and lower. It's like we're on an elevator.
Mm-hmm. Bottom gun.
Well, Cougar is pretty shook up, I gotta say, and he's having some traumatic moments. He can't figure out how to fly. He seems to be affected with sweaty, blurry vision. I don't know exactly what disorder that would be constituted as. I guess he's having a panic attack, maybe, but he just gets real sweaty and his vision gets blurry, and so he's having some trouble. Now, Maverick has dipped out at this point. He's like, I chased those guys off, I'm heading back to the ship. But then he finds out Cougar needs help. Well, now Maverick is low on fuel because why would you gas a plane up fully if you're going to be out on maneuvers? It doesn't make any sense. So his commanding officer, guy from Back to the Future, whatever his name
Sweaty
is.
Sweaty man. Stinger. Sweaty cigar man.
I think his name is Stinger. I think is the character's name, if I remember correctly.
They could remake this movie with pro wrestlers and not have to change any names.
They do actually all sound like pro wrestlers. I mean, it's call signs. What are you going to do? So,
yeah, what are you going to do? What's your call sign, Kev?
Oh, mine is SPF 45.
The sunblocker. I like it.
Okay, so you changed it to sunblocker because that's better. Look,
oh, I like that better.
What's your call sign?
Boys to Men. I don't know.
So BTM?
Sure. God, I wish I'd have thought of something. I shouldn't have asked you if I didn't have one ready.
Yeah, yeah. You got to have one in the cooker, Mr. Improv.
Oh, I got it. I'll be the plaid lad because I'm wearing plaid.
Nope. You're BTM, Mal. You're just BTM. All right. Well, anyway, we've gotten so far off the rails. You can tell we're back in the saddle again. What can I say? That's another back song, isn't it? Anyway, so Maverick heads back. He talks Cougar down enough that Cougar is able to land the plane safely.
Yeah. Yeah. But it doesn't end there. The drama goes on. You think, oh, look, Maverick saved that man. Because somehow, which I don't even know how he did it. He's like the plane. He's got a... Cougar's got a co-pilot that's just like, hey, Coug, wake up. Coug, come on, man. Coug, I'm back here talking to you, bud. But then you got Maverick in another plane flying so close, closer than two planes should fly together. And in the other plane, Maverick's like, hey, Coug, if I could just calm down and just go ahead and land the plane, okay? That'd be great, okay? If I can get you to do that.
Yeah, but
and somehow that works.
But Maverick
that
is so soothing, though. Like, he's got that ASMR thing going on. You know what I think it is? I think it's like when a friend of yours that you're like really close with, for example, has a podcast. And you don't listen to it because it's like your friend that you're really close with. And you're like, well, it's just that idiot. And then you listen to somebody else's podcast. Right, Steven?
Yeah.
He's like a friend of mine that listens to other people's podcasts and not this one. So,
Steven.
Yeah. So just if you know, in the Discord, if you guys could all just throw in on some Steven hate, that'd be terrific. Now,
Steven.
Yeah. And so anyway, they get back to the aircraft carrier. And Stinger, boy, he chews old Mav out for his shenanigans. He says, you were wild. You were reckless. You saved a guy's life. That was great. We're glad you did that. But you're a real jerk, Maverick.
Yeah, man. And it was before that, though. Cougar walks in and is like, Stinger, man, I lost it up there. I don't have my edge. I'm going to go back home and be with my family who loves me. I don't need you anymore. And he just quit. And I was like, that's probably the best thing to do, honestly. It sounds like you got a family that loves you. Why would you be doing this?
Yeah, you really, you know, you just got to have no hesitation when you're up there in the violent skies of Top Gun. You got to go for it, man. And hesitation, in fact, thinking gets you killed, Travis.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. In the movie, they say. Anyway, Stinger is really chewing out old Maverick, and then he goes, yeah, you're the worst. I hate you. Anyway, you get to go to the Top Gun school. Have fun.
Wild, right? Because I guess Cougar was going to go. They're taking Cougar's spot. Yep. Cougar was the best. He got spooked by the Russians, and he's like, all right, I hate you so much, Maverick. I'm going to give you a promotion. So he gets to go to Top Gun school and be a better pilot, which... Let's see. Maybe it'll make him a better, safer, more responsible pilot. Let's hope.
God, he's probably excited about it just for the air conditioning.
And all the hotter dudes. I bet there's hotter dudes in Top Gun school.
So Maverick somehow gets off of the... I guess he's got planes, right? Now. Yeah, sure. He's going to hop off the aircraft carrier and get on his motorcycle because he hates safety. He just hates safety in all of its forms. He has to get the most dangerous... He tried to get a horse that was on fire. Turns out PETA wouldn't let him. So he just had to settle for a motorcycle with no helmet. Like, that's what
he had
to go for.
I love the idea that the carrier didn't even make it to land. He literally ramped off of the carrier on his motorcycle to land.
To the Dukes of Hazzard theme.
Right.
It was pretty awesome. So we get a little history of Top Gun from Michael Ironsides. And he kind of gives a little pep talk to the fellas, you know, about what they can expect and how important what they're doing is. And it's Michael Ironsides saying it. So I bet you really paid attention, didn't you, Trav?
Oh, I listened to every word of it. I was like that one dude in that one scene where he looks over at his buddy and goes, this is giving me a hard-on. I was like, yeah, same.
Samesies. Well, Iceman, played by Val Kilmer. Now, he's going to be sort of Maverick's nemesis within the school. Him and Mav make eyes for the first time. I mean, they lock him.
Iceman's the hero of the movie.
He really
is. He's the good guy. He's the good guy. He's the moral... compass that we need.
Yeah, sure, Trav, but in the end, who has to save him? Maverick.
Whatever.
Let me ask you this. Is Top Gun 2 called Iceman? No, it's called Top Gun Maverick.
I don't know. I haven't seen it, and I don't intend to unless it's season 5 or whatever.
Yeah, we'll get to it eventually. I mean, we got to find it on DVD first. But anyway, Mav establishes here that he's the best. I mean, he just gets a little cocky. He says, yeah, I'm actually the best pilot here. And Michael Irons says, like, I like that. Or no, Tom Skerritt's character, who is Viper. Is like,
Viper,
yeah. He's
yeah.
like, I like that. I like that in a pilot. Oh, okay, cool.
He does. He likes a cocky attitude. Yeah.
So
he's not going to like it later. Later, he's going to be like, "Well, he's a little too cocky.
Yeah, I wish you would just dial it back. I like it, but I like not that much. It's like just it's
a little too much.
It's like the right amount of choking, you know. And so Mav and the company head off to the bar, and man, they just act like a bunch of pervs. I mean, there's no way to say it. They're just like scoping the girls and being all, what's that term, like misogynistic and whatnot. Like, it's just it's a lot. It's a lot going on.
Yeah, they do serenade that lady all kind of fun, though. They sing to her there. You know, they all got that love and feeling.
Yeah. We're almost to that. But before we get there, I just wanted to mention how close a talker Iceman is. Like, he is all up in Maverick's grill. And it's like there's some tension there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's that classic scene that we'll get to later where he does that, like, air bite.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, dude, you could have got his mustache with that. You better be careful.
Yeah, be careful. Yeah, his mustache. So I just want to point out Tom Cruise doesn't have a mustache, but Tom Arnold does.
Oh, I was talking about the mustache above his nose because he's got that big unibrow.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was talking about. It's top stash. That's what they should call the movie.
Nice recovery. Nice recovery, bud. I appreciate it. So
improv.
So then he does they do this like lost that loving feeling serenade to what turns out to be a main character in the movie. Hey, that's lucky, right? Charlotte Charlie Blackwood. And what really trips me out about it is how quick all the other dudes jump in on it. Like, they are legit wingmen, am I right?
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. When I was watching this, I was like, are they all trying to get at her? Like, are we trying to do a train thing? What is happening?
Is it like...
But no, they were just broing.
It's a feeling like they've done this before, though. Like, they have a high percentage success rate with this particular maneuver, I feel like.
Well, Goose even is like, ugh, like rolling his eyes, like, here we go again. So, like, yeah, definitely not the first time that they've done this.
Well, it works well enough that Charlie invites him to sit down and talk to her for a minute. They have a little, like, kind of flirty banter, slightly, you know, kind of, you know, that, like, I'm insulting you, but I also kind of want to make eyes with you a little bit. And then she's like, well, this has been nice. I do have to go get with my friends that are over here. So she goes to sit with her friends, and then she's like, oh, you know, I got to go to the bathroom. He follows her into the bathroom, Travis. Into the bathroom.
He does, man. I didn't like it. I didn't like it, man. I didn't like it. Nowadays I'm all about the unisex bathroom, but back in the day, clearly demarked.
Well, you
okay,
know,
you don't. Yeah, rules are rules back then.
It's clearly
they
an
are
invasion
now.
Of her, like, you know, like, if she had been like, hey, follow me in the ladies' room for a little bit of the business, you know, that'd be fine, right? But she didn't say
maybe.
That. She could be in there pooping. She could be in there pooping with her bottom gun, and all of a sudden, back gun, whatever we decided on, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, he's like, oh, I made a mistake. Or maybe he'd be like, nah, I made a really good decision. Either way, because it's Tom Cruise, he's real creepy.
Yeah, it was a little much for me.
This is the worst episode we've done, Travis. I just want you to know.
I'm going to say it's Tom Cruise's fault. If he hadn't done it, we wouldn't be talking about it. It's his fault.
That's true. I'm going to blame him. Well, anyway, they have a little bit more flirty banter, but she's a little more put off that he came in the bathroom, or maybe that's just in my imagination. And she exits, and we head to the next day. Well, next day in class, guess who shows up to teach the class? Charlie. That's right. The woman he went in the bathroom after is one of the instructors at Top Gun.
Can you believe it? Can you believe it?
I can.
I couldn't.
I can. No.
You could?
Yeah. No, I can. Because she seemed smart. You know, she gave that
smart
vibe.
But I feel like she wilts a little too easily to him. You know, she's an instructor. I feel like she has the power play, but she gets really wrapped up in him too soon. I thought, I was like, nah. I'm not buying that. She's harder to get than that. Come on.
I mean, it does. The fact that she's teaching the class does knock Mab back a little bit. He gets a little blushed. He's like, oh, gosh, shucks, oops, I might have made a boo-boo. And then he proceeds to correct her when she says something. You're like, hey, stop plane-splaining, all right? Stop plane-splaining how airplanes work, all right? I don't
appreciate
it. She's
the teacher.
Yeah, exactly.
She's a physicist. She has more math in her head than he could seriously fathom.
Oh, but they do get a legit, like, humble brag here. This is the part where he was like, yeah, we took the picture of the MiG. And she's like, you wouldn't have been able to do that. And he's like, We were able to because we were flying upside down. Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, that's straight up awesome.
I mean, yeah, this is when it became like, to me, I was like, oh, so this is a Fast and the Furious movie.
Well, she's awful curious about his MiG. Let's put it that way, and we'll find out more about that later. But they head up in the air, flight training, right? Goose and Mav are going after, I believe it's Jester in this one. And there's a whole lot of, like, planes buzzing back and forth. And now Jester is Michael Ironside's character. He's pretty good, and then Viper's, like, better. Like, he's the real Top Gun as far as the instructors go. And then so they're really chasing him down. They do what they call Mav hits the brakes, and makes Jester fly past him, which I don't know why you wouldn't just do that move every time somebody's following you, because he has like 100% success rate with this in the movie. And then he does a little bit of what he calls turning and burning.
I love it. It's a good, like, it's like a Looney Tunes thing out there. I love it. A little Wile E. Coyote business.
Yeah, well, it's his first day up, and he successfully takes down the instructor. Now he has to go down the hard deck or below the hard deck. I can't remember what that's. I think that's an altitude you're not supposed to go below. So he does it to do that.
Rule of engagement: you can't go below 10,000 feet. That's no good.
Yeah, it's no
can't do it.
No bueno, man. And then he's so full of himself because he got the instructor, even though he went down on his hard deck. He buzzes the tower. He flies real close to the tower. Makes the poor air traffic controller guy spilled coffee all over himself.
All over his sweet, sweet chest. I mean, that's the worst.
Which is this?
I'd have been mad too.
This happens. We're probably going to forget how many times this happens in the movie. It happens at least 3 or 4 times where he buzzes the tower and makes this same guy spill coffee on himself. It's a really, it's an unnecessary callback gag that didn't work that good to begin with and just makes me think Maverick's a real big jerk. But moving forward.
He is.
This is a little locker room scene is happening here. Iceman, he don't like Mav because Mav dangerous.
Right? He doesn't fly safe. He's reckless. Maverick, you're dangerous. And you know what Maverick says?
What does he say?
He says, oh, I am dangerous.
Wow.
Yeah, I just said you were dangerous. That's Mav.
Thank you for admitting the problem that we're trying to solve here. Do you realize we're going like 6,000 miles an hour? It's dangerous up there. Could you make it less so?
These are taxpayer dollars paying for these freaking bullets we're driving. You up there dangerous with them. It's like, that's right. I am dangerous. I don't respect taxpayers.
Yeah, but then Mav saves the day. So, you know, we'll bring that back.
Does he?
Yeah, a little bit. Well, they get called to the principal's office.
Does he save the day or does he kill his friend?
Oh, wow. He kills his friend, then saves the day. That's the order of operations. Yeah, that's
right. Okay.
So, hold on. It was an accident. He was even cleared. We'll get there. Anyway, he gets called to the principal's office for going down on the hard deck. I have been saying going down on the hard deck.
Sure. You have. You've been saying that. You can't blame me for that. You said that.
This movie does make you gayer. I really think it does.
It does. It's fine. I'm embracing it. I'm into it. It's fine.
Wow.
5 stars.
Yeah, where do I even go with this? All right. So he gets in trouble because he went below the altitude that he should have went below. And, of course, the tower thing. Also. So he kind of just gets chewed out. There's no real repercussions for this. I feel like, there's a point system. Apparently, you do a certain amount of good things. You get enough points to become the top gun or the best pilot in your class. It's like, shouldn't he get, like can we take 10 from Gryffindor here? Like, what are you doing, man? Like, how does he just get to keep all his points if he broke the rules?
I know, right? I can't. You know what? You know what else should dock him points? Wearing jeans to play beach volleyball. That's a sin.
Oh, that's a sin, right? That's seriously bad. Well, they have a quick little discussion at Mav's place. Goose says, "Hey, man, look, we got to take this serious. We can't afford to blow it."
Yeah, because you'll die. Like, literally, blowing gets bad.
Well, I think Goose was thinking he didn't want to die, and more that he needed a successful career because he has a family, which is ironic because he does die. Have we spoiled that yet? Yeah. He does. And we find out that Mav's dad was also a pilot, and we get this little moment there where we understand that the depth of Goose and Maverick's friendship, because Maverick says, "You're the only family I got."
That whole, my dad was a pilot too. He was a good dad and a good pilot. And he got in trouble for piloting too reckless. That's not like my dad. My dad was a good pilot. It's like, this sucks. Yeah. Get over this part of the movie. This is not fun for me.
I mean, to be fair, though, like, it did make the fact that his dad was a pilot and then he ended up being a pilot made a better movie. Like, if I had followed in my dad's footsteps and they made a movie about it, I'd be like, wow, he puts on shingles.
I think you could take the dad thing out of this. I don't think anyone gives a shit.
I mean,
about that. I
kind of care a little bit.
You cared a little bit about the dad?
Yeah, it kind of explains why he's got that chip on his shoulder, you know? Like, everybody's always been comparing him to his dad, and it's like, well, you did do the literal same thing your dad did. So, like, I don't know that you can avoid the... Like, if LeBron James's son was like, dang, I'm going to play in the NBA. Yeah, you're going to be compared to your dad. Slow down, Mav.
It's just weird to me. I don't see how you can be like your dad flying. It's not like he got to, like, fly in a jet with his dad and be like, oh, I like the way dad flies. He's got thing. I want to be just like him.
Way to rub it in that his dad's dead. You didn't get to fly in a jet with your dad, did you?
You see? How would he know to be, I'm going to be like my dad and be an asshole when I fly? It worked out for him.
It sure did. Well, we get a little quick scene where Tom Cruise is laying on his creepiest charm with Charlie as Maverick, and she just says, hey, look, I don't date students, but then I'm pretty sure she gives him her phone number anyway. Like,
yeah, mixed signals out of her.
Boy, howdy.
That. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, he gets a phone number and he gets a dinner date. Actually, he doesn't get a phone number. I think he gets her address, which is, he followed you into the bathroom and you're going to give him your address? This man invades privacy. What are you doing?
It's like, lady, he already knows where you live. Like, if he followed you to the bathroom, he's ahead of you on this.
He's got a mind map in his apartment of just your movements around town. He's like, and she went by Wegmans, you know? Maverick's creepy is what I'm trying to say. Well, while we're just rolling around in hot, sweaty, shirtless men, man, this is the beach volleyball scene where they're getting overly. This is like, it has to be, even beach volleyball at the Olympics isn't this like competitive. Like, nobody takes it this seriously. These guys are like dripping sweat. Also, hey, why does you got Tom Cruise and Iceman and Slipper, Slider is his
Slider.
Co-pilot's name, or his ROI or RIO, radar or something. His co-pilot guy, they're all shirtless. Goose got his shirt on. Why Goose got his shirt on?
SPF 45, baby. He doesn't want to get that
burn. Man's worried about skin cancer.
Heck yeah, he's the smartest one. He's also got a mustache. He doesn't get any on his lip. He's smart. The rest of them guys... reckless.
You remember, like, when the Top Gun Maverick movie came out, like, all the younger guys were sporting that little mustache for about 3 weeks?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that was wild.
That's a good time. Did you like it?
I like it, yeah.
Did you get one?
No, I have, like, I have that mustache, but it is attached to a beard. So, you know, that makes me a little more lumberjack. But you know what? That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter, Travis, because it's date time. Now, he's a little late. You know how it is? Like, you're hanging out with the bros on the beach, just sweating, rubbing suntan lotion on each other, except for Goose, because he's got his shirt on. And you're kind of a little mad about that. Like, dude, why can't I rub your shoulders? And then you look down at your watch.
But also, I wore jeans. I wore jeans.
Can you imagine? Because, like, he just hops right on his motorcycle and goes over there. There's a whole bit about him taking a shower. Can you imagine that swamp butt?
Oh, dude, I can't. Jeez. It's so much.
On the beach playing beach volleyball? Nah, dude, that's got to be...
They give you a soggy bottom gun right there.
I hate you.
I think that's a song from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, isn't it?
I mean, the name of the band was Soggy Bottom Boys.
There it is.
So, I mean,
yeah,
that's not... I mean, that's who gets a soggy bottom butt. Soggy bottom gun. The Soggy Bottom Boys. Well, our boy Maverick's a little late to dinner, but she seems to just, even though she was very insistent that he be on time, she's like, eh, it's cool. Whatever. Come on in. He also just walks in her door. Creepy.
You know what I thought would have been cool at this point? I was so suspicious of her. I was like, oh, what if she's a Russian spy?
Oh, that would have been a nice cool twist. Yeah. Yeah, that would be like, what does he know about our planes? That would have been cool. But this movie doesn't want to be cool. It just wants to have a love interest. And so they basically kind of have a little bit of this dinner date. It's going along. And then all of a sudden she brings up the MiG. Turns out that's what she was really interested in, not talking to Maverick. And he's like, oh, dang. But they end up locking eyes. And it's, I mean, you can... I mean, there's a little, they do have, despite the fact that Tom Cruise is creepy, they do have some pretty good chemistry together.
Yeah, I like her a lot. I will not say anything positive about Tom Cruise, but I thought when she was on screen, she was very magnetic for me. I enjoyed her quite a bit.
Yeah, very, very watchable. Well, we find out a little bit more about Mav's backstory, about his pop's disappearance, and he finally gets that shower because he just leaves. He's like, yeah, anyway, I'll catch you later. He kind of does like that. Like, am I going to try to make a move sort of thing? Which, dude, you've already followed her in the bathroom. Like, you've shot your shot. And he goes...
That's a big move.
He's like, nah, I'm out. I'm just going to ride my motorcycle home and take a shower. That's the end of that scene. It kind of builds up to nothing. But you know what I do like that, like... You know, in a movie like this, a lot of times they would have like one dinner and then it would be on after that. But I like that there's a little bit more courtship here.
Yeah.
It feels more earned.
You know, you're not wrong. I can agree with you there. I do agree with that.
And they have another little flirtatious scene in an elevator. Fun little factoid here. She's wearing a hat in that scene, which is not typical of the rest of the movie. Apparently, they had to do some reshoots or something like that, and she'd moved on to another movie she was filming that she had her hair dyed a different color for, so they just stuck her on her hat. I can't remember what the movie was, but...
That's interesting.
Also, Goose's family comes to visit, and they pick them up at the airport, and that's it. That's all you get. So that happens. It's just a quick scene, you know, but it's important to know that Goose's fam is in town. Now they're back in the classroom, and they're discussing... different maneuvers that they have selected and used. And Maverick does everything wrong. He gets criticized heavily, but then he was right. So...
Yeah, that's... Was he right, or was he just, like, lucky?
I mean, he's right over and over again and wins a whole lot in this movie, so...
I don't know. I would... Let's see if Goose's family agrees.
But
they're in town. We'll ask them.
We'll ask them in about four or five scenes. We'll ask them how they feel about it. So he gets criticized by Charlie in the class. And I'm going to tell you, Matt, this is where I don't like him. All right. This is what irritates me. He cannot handle criticism well. If you're in a life or death job and everyone's lives is on the line around you, you need to be able to handle criticism. Well, he doesn't. He gets all like sulky teenager about it, gets his ego fluffed up, hops on his motorcycle, won't talk to her as she's trying to say, hey, like, Mev, I'm just trying to just help you be a slightly better pilot. Like, you don't know everything. He's like, nah, I'm off. Zoosh. And then she jumps in her car and chases him. They both endanger hundreds of citizens on the streets of this town.
Yeah, dude. Only for her to catch up to him and be like, I can't say what I want to say to you because I'm the teacher and I think you're hot. And I just, it's weird. Kiss me right now.
And then they're street kissing. Then they're just out there on the street kissing.
And this is where the movie lost me. I said, no way.
They end up back at her place at this point, do a little bang bang, right?
They bang.
In this, I had to stop watching it. Because watching Tom Cruise kiss someone is the most revolting thing I have ever seen in my life. He does this weird licking tongue kiss that just made me want to like just eject from my airplane and smash my skull on the top of it. Like, I just did not ever want to see this movie again because of that.
It's funny because it's on the screen right now as Kevin and I are talking. It's funny because he'll open up his mouth and then a smaller xenomorph mouth comes out of that mouth. And then it's not done. Another one comes out of that mouth and then it licks her all the way up and down.
It's like 15 years every time between me seeing this movie to the next time I see it. So I'll forget this is in there 10, 15 years from now and just be totally revolted again. Oh, it's the worst. Just,
hey, do you remember that night we spent watching people eat pickles for ASMR videos? Yeah. That was way better than this.
Yeah, that was way better. Shout out to Burger Champ for his selection. That might have been Dylan. I don't remember who that was, but thanks for the ASMR pickle videos. But and if you don't know what we're talking about, it's an inside joke.
But Google ASMR pickle videos and then you'll officially be in.
Actually, I will completely disagree with Travis. Do not watch ASMR pickle videos. Just take it right out. You don't need it.
I'm gonna put it in the show notes.
Oh god, please don't. Back in the air, they're back to training in the next scene. Mav is trailing Ice for the top spot. Now, we find out this right before they go up. Again, I mean, you want him to be competitive, but this seems like it's going to be dangerous. So they have a whole lot of these sort of things going on. And Viper is up there. Now, Viper, he's the man, basically. If you want to be the man, you got to beat the man. So they're all sort of gunning after him. And Mav is supposed to be Hollywood. That's another pilot's wingman. But he's like, Hollywood, you're fine. I'm gonna go after Viper. So he's chasing him. He's not paying enough attention. Jester slides up behind him and boom, takes him out. They all get wiped out. I mean, not for real. They're doing like fake shooting. They're not actually really, you know, two men enter, one man leave situation. But it's a
great balls of fire. That's what they say a lot.
They do say that. So very disappointing for them. And we learn, man, you never leave your wingman. Very, very
you don't
important
do it.
Tip.
Yeah.
So they all hit the showers. I got some questions about this shower scene. First of all, there's like eight of them waiting to take a shower. And in this entire facility for pilots, they've got two showers?
Two showers. It teaches them patience and humility and respect. And how to take a shower pretty quick.
I mean, they spend $50 million on an airplane, and you can't put three more showers in this place? It couldn't have been more than $2,000 to put more showers in this place.
You know, it's a weird... I'm glad you observed that. I didn't think about it. They are just... It is an opportunity for more guys to hang around wet and shirtless, though.
That's true. That's true. Well, we definitely can see that Tom Cruise is very upset about the outcome of the day, as well as Goose is. But you know what they're going to do? They're going to do what all hot-blooded American, red-blooded, dripping with beach sweat volleyball men are going to do. They're going to head to the bar for some drinks.
I know I would. After a night like that, are you kidding me?
That's right. Well, Goose is out with Mav and his family. Now, I gotta shout out my favorite character, my favorite performance in this movie is Meg Ryan. She kills it. She is so good. She is so funny. Like, she has very little screen time in this movie, but she's just so fun to watch. And then all of a sudden, of course, spoiler alert, Goose is dead. And she does this like very serious, dramatic turn of it. And she's just so likable and good in this. I was like, you know what, man, this turns me around on Meg Ryan, man. She's good.
She's very down to earth. She comes off as like someone you know. Like, it's a very relatable character, I think.
She is just, in my notes here, she is fun as hell as Carol.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, as you mentioned, Goose is sort of playing the piano and singing. He's singing, goodness gracious, great balls of fire. We also get a moment where the ladies are together. That would be Charlie and Carol and talking about the fellas. And she, Carol says to Charlie, hey, I think you got Mav locked up. I think he's in love with you.
And she's like, really? Really? And it's like, yeah, have you been watching the movie?
Yeah. Aren't you staying?
He's like way into you. Yeah.
And she also, Meg Ryan's character, says one of the very quotable lines from the movie, take me to bed or lose me forever.
Yeah. Which is what an ultimatum that is.
That's a lot of pressure. Yeah. Like, I'm going to be like, nah, oh, there's something bad going to happen
not
in
now.
That bed.
Yeah.
Don't you pressure me. You know, I want this to be a little more, you know, subtle, a little more coy.
To be natural. Yeah. I like to, you know. Let's, you know, give me a minute.
I don't respond well to ultimatums. You just go to bed by yourself. I'm going to watch the rest of Top Gun. Well,
I just had too many tacos. You know, I'm not really feeling it right now. I might need another hour. Can we watch another episode of Firefly? You know, that's what I would say.
Oh, man. Yeah. We'll watch season two of Firefly.
Come on, man. Don't make me sad.
I know I had to do it. Everybody does the season two Firefly joke. It's just, if you're on a podcast and you don't do that, then you lose your podcaster card. So we also get a really gross scene of Tom Cruise kissing again. After she says, take me to bed or lose me forever, she quotes Carol's line, Charlie does. And my skin was crawling. And they're like, kiss. Ugh, I just hate it. I hate everything about Tom Cruise kissing.
Sorry, do you want me to skip past it? I will. I'm sorry.
For as much much as I love to watch Tom Cruise run, because he just runs like nobody else in movies. Like, you see Tom Cruise run in a movie, you're like, man, that dude can run. You know what I'm saying?
If I had to rank runners in movies, it's Forrest Gump, then Tom Cruise.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
right.
Yeah, that is the exact order that should go in. Now, we're back at flight training. Ice and Mav are going after the bogeys again. And Ice cuts off Mav. He gets right in front of him as they're trying to chase down this this other plane and get it with a shot. And Ice, now, you talk about how he's Mr. Safety here, Trav. He hangs on way longer than he should have because he knew he didn't have a shot, but he was trying to get it because they're so close in points. All right, so your boy Ice let you down a little bit right here. And finally, he's like, okay, I'll move. When he moves, he hits. You know, now that I'm thinking about it, it might be a little bit of Iceman's fault here, what happens to Goose, because he doesn't move. He doesn't get out of the way when he knows he should. And when he does, you know, Mav's too close, so he hits him with something called a jet wash. All right, now I know what you're thinking, Travis, like, oh, it's a dirty plane. No, apparently it's an air thing that can happen around airplanes. That's as much science as you need for this.
I'm glad you explained it.
And so Mav loses control of the airplane. It's like flip it around, and they just can't get control. And Travis, I'm going to let you take it over and say what happens, because I don't know if I have the heart for it.
Sure. Well, first of all, Iceman had the shot, and he didn't take it. Might have been a little stubborn. But, you know, when you get in a rear-end collision, who gets the ticket? The person following too close, which was Maverick. He got caught up in the jet wash, spins out of control. They eject. We got to get out of this plane because we're spinning way too fast. Maverick gets out of the plane, but Goose ejects and smashes his head. I don't mean to laugh.
Yeah, ejects from the plane, monster. He's got a family.
It's like you eject, but you still hit your head on the thing. That's... I don't know. There's some comedy there. But he dies. And that's sad for everybody. Also, he's like, his name was Goose. Everybody else had cool names. So I kind of saw it coming. The minute he was on screen, I was like, oh, his name's Goose. He's dying for sure.
Hey, you know what? Maybe he should have ducked.
Right. That's what I was going to say. He should have ducked instead of goosed. We got his ass. But no, he's dead. And his family is sad.
He's seriously dead. And his family is sad. And like, he hits his head. It's like an ejector seat. It comes out. He hits his head on the top of the whatever, like the little capsule window thing is called, on the top of the jet. And he cracks his head on that. For some reason, he shoots out at a way different pace than Maverick's ejector seat. Don't know why.
Do they test those? I have no idea. It's like, you think they put them in the plane and they're like, we hope it works. And you can only push it once.
Okay, they didn't test his. They didn't test it. I mean, it worked. To be fair, it worked.
Yeah, it did work.
They did get him out of the plane. And this scene where he's dead just goes on forever. It's like, normally be like, all right, he's dead. You see Maverick holding him in the water, like, no, Goose. And then you cut to the next scene and we're dealing with the aftermath. It just keeps going. Like, he's dead floating in the water. The Coast Guard shows up. The helicopter's there for like a full 45 minutes. They jump out of the plane. You know, one of the divers comes down and he's like, hold on, would you let him go? I got to get him on the hook. And so then they put him on the hook, and then he's just like getting raised up in the air, all dead, and like his mangled limbs are everywhere, and it's still going.
And meanwhile, in the background, it's like, took his breath away.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Goo goo. Goo goo.
And it's sad. We're all sad.
Yeah, we're pretty sad about it.
I was RIP.
But no one's more sad than Maverick. I mean, his wife gets over, but Maverick's like, yeah, I'm probably going to quit now.
Well, it's a real hard cut here, and it's like, RIP, he's dead, it's really sad, and then it just cuts to Maverick in his tidy whities.
Yeah, with Tom Skerritt being like, you know, in Vietnam, we lost 18 men.
Yeah.
Put your pants on when I'm telling you a story about Vietnam.
And this is where I kind of have some fault with the movie Navy in this. Like, they give no counseling, no, like, time for him to mentally recover. No, like, hey, they just basically like, hey, nice tidy whities, walk it off, son. Like,
yeah,
that's
he's
it.
He's just a pilot. He's just some guy. All right. There will be other guys. Okay, get out there, champ. You're all right.
Well,
you don't want to quit now. You're banging the teacher.
Yeah, exactly, man. You're doing fine. And Viper's Tom Skerritt's character is just, it's not a good, like, pep you up speech. He's like, look, first of all, he takes a full, like, 5 minutes to check out Tom Cruise and the tidy whities, which, I mean, I got to admit, I probably would do the same because it's such a weird spectacle. I did, actually.
The bottom gun.
Yeah, that bottom gun's going to get you every time. And then he's just like, yep, got to tell you, a lot more people are going to die. You should probably just get over it. And then leaves.
He says that. That's a quote. That's an exact quote from the movie. I could not believe he said that. I was like, out of all the work we've put into this film, that's the line that we're going to end the act on. That's crazy to me.
It's crazy. And so Mav obviously blames himself for the accident, though he's found innocent later of it. No fault of his.
Sure.
So he feels so bad about himself, and he blames himself so much, he forces himself to have cringy dialogue with Charlie in her car as punishment. Oh, my God. This whole scene was just the cringiest thing I have ever seen. Whoo! And I just
get into it. I don't know that I might have been still reeling off of Tom Skerritt giving the Tidy Whitey Vietnam speech. What was so cringy about this particular?
It's the dialogue and the delivery of it. Like, I'd like to help. I know it's difficult. And he's like, nah. And then he just gets out of the car and leaves. And like his acting is, oh yeah, he's like, I want it back. It's bad, dude.
Like, why? You didn't listen to him. He was in the back screaming the whole time while you were driving a plane into the ground. Like, I don't think you need it back.
It was just, and he was like looking into the sun the whole time and squinting. He was like squint, cry, you know.
Yeah, with sunglasses on. Like, stop looking over there.
It's bad. It's real bad. It's real cringy. So he heads over and packs up Goose's stuff. He cries in the doorway for a little while. And then he takes it over to Carol again. Meg Ryan, fantastic in this movie, and she.
By the way, that's the haircut my sister still has. She has a Carol haircut.
Are you serious? Yeah. That's a good haircut, dude. Yeah.
Nice little '80s plume covered in hairspray. I think it's the same hairspray from 1989. I don't think it comes out. I think that stuff was like industrial grade.
She's got that Vidal Sassoon, man. She's ready to go. Mm-hmm. Does she look kind of like Meg Ryan?
No.
Oh.
Maybe in 1998 she did.
Right. Well, she poor Carol does what she can to actually make.
Why are you so interested in my sister all of a sudden?
I was getting Meg Ryan energy. I just wanted to know what it was like, bud. I just
Jesus.
Don't. I could call you brother. It would be great.
Okay. All right.
I'll still call her sissy though.
Please. She likes it.
But anyway, Carol does her best to make Maverick feel better about the situation, which is kind of weird. She's in her own grief, but I guess she's like, you're the star of the movie, so I got to do what I got to do.
Yeah.
We get a scene. Again, no time for counseling. Nobody's like, hey, bud, you should probably talk to somebody or whatever. They're just like, were you guilty? Nope. All right. You better get back up in that plane.
Yeah. And like, how do they know he wasn't guilty?
I mean, they did science stuff. They were like, yep, that was a clear jet wash situation. Seen it 100 times. We keep thinking we should fix the planes, but we don't.
Okay.
It's nothing to be done. A lot of people going to die. What are you going to do? Tom Skerritt said it.
So. What are you going to do?
It's no way to change it. So
it's like no matter what happens, no matter who dies, no one's guilty ever.
So I did. I underlined it like three. Did they have no backup for no PTSD protocols? Just none whatsoever. They're like,
none.
Get them on up there. You'll be fine. Walk it off, kid.
Yeah.
So Mav is struggling. He can't shoot the other guy, even though he has a shot when he's up in the air this time. His co-pilot, they were probably like, hey, can you just go fly with him? He probably didn't even know the other guy died. You know, he's just trying to get it done. You know, and he's like, hey, why
would
didn't
not?
You?
No one's volunteering to be. Yeah. Maverick's co-pilot.
This guy's not even he's not even trained in the Navy. He's just he was just a guy that worked at the airport. They're like, put this helmet on, son, get in that plane.
He fixes the wheels.
He's so
you may not get to get in a plane. They're like, get on in there. It's like, finally, yeah,
awesome, I got my chance. And he's like, hey man, why don't you take the shot? And then Maverick just like yells at him, grabs him by his lapels and storms off. You're like, dude, settle down.
Yeah, come on. This guy fixes the planes. Why are you mad at him?
And yet, they know this is going on, and they keep sending him up. He's like, yeah, just keep sending him up. I mean, he's the star of the movie. We can't stop. We can't stop now. And so back to the locker room. Iceman says he's sorry about Goose, and then Maverick's like, doesn't say anything. He just leaves, and then somehow they know he quits. Like, it's a really weird, like,
right?
I think his name's Slide or something like that. Iceman's co-pilot just gets
Slider,
on the phone. Spider. He gets on the phone and then he calls somebody and he's like, hey, Maverick quit. It's like, how do you...
Maverick Duncan. Maybe that guy saw him. There's a guy like at the end of the locker just spying on people. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, it was awkward. But I thought it was, you know, you got Iceman coming in there, taking the big step, be like, hey, I know we've had our differences, but I want you to know. That real sucks. That sucks real bad about what you did to murder Goose back there.
Whoa.
We're all sad. We're all sad about it.
Whoa, he doesn't say that. I think deep down he feels some responsibility himself. Like, I think...
Oh, he could possibly.
I think Iceman is at least 75% culpable. But, you know, whatever. We're going to move on.
All right.
So Charlie finds Mav at the airport, and she decides to punish Maverick with more cringy dialogue for his crimes against Goose. He's like, I'm feeling it. She's like, it's not, and I'm sitting there going like, it's not your fault, Mav. You know, it's not your fault. I agree with Charlie here.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, whatever we got to do to get you back in the movie.
And she kind of like massages his ego. She's like, you're a good pilot. You know, you need to get back in there. And he is just so salty. He's like, he's not wanting to hear none of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, he just murdered his friend.
Yeah, but hey, easy. And then she tries like a couple of times, and then she's like, oh, you just want me to leave? Okay, fine. And it's like, man, nobody believes in mental health in this movie. Like, not a single person.
Yeah, it's at some point, this part really gets drug out. Like, we know he's coming back.
Yeah, but
right?
You know the stinger she gets him with in this one, though? I did, this is a great little writing touch and performed very well by both actors. She's called, you know, he's always called Maverick. She calls him when he's like, I'm quitting. She calls him Pete Mitchell. She doesn't call him by his call sign, and that stings, man.
Yeah.
You can see it in his eyes. He's like, that's my whole identity. Oh, dang, I just gotta be Pete now,
right? Or gotta fall back on his high school nickname, which was Top Stash.
I wish we had alternate titles for these episodes, because this one's just rich. It is just rich.
We can start. It's a new season.
Well, Mav...
Top Stash Bottom Gun. We got it.
I love it, man. Well, Mav goes to visit Viper. He wants his advice, because he's a pilot, you know. He's not just a lady woman. Again, misogynistic Pete Mitchell. But... he goes, and Viper, first of all, has a sweet Top Gun hat. It just says Top Gun.
It just says Top Gun. It just says Top Gun.
You're like, the Navy can't like jazz this up a little? Like, you're the best pilot in all the Navy, and they can't give you a better hat that says Top Gun? He wears it the whole scene. It's hilarious.
It's great, because it's like, to me, it's like, man, have hats come that far? Like, in the day, was that a cool hat? And I'm looking back on that hat with like, oh, is that the best they could do with the hat? They cheapened out on that hat? Or when they made that hat for the movie, they were passing it around like, dude, you see the Top Gun hat they got for that scene?
That's incredible.
It's sick. It says Top Gun on the hat. They're like, get out of here. Let me see that shit.
In fact, Tony Scott's like, yeah, it's great. Can we put a plane on it? And they're like, you're fired. He actually, no kidding, Tony Scott actually got fired 3 times during the making of this movie.
Why?
He kept getting fired because he just disagreed with the writers and the producers and stuff, so they would fire him. There was one scene, or one time apparently, he got fired, but it was bad weather, so he couldn't leave, so he just kept shooting the movie, and I guess they just forgot. He basically did what the character from Office Space does. He just gets fired, but he just keeps working there.
Just my stapler all day with that guy.
And it turned out it worked out for Tony Scott. But anyway, yeah, it's a real dumb hat. Mav gets a little pep talk from Viper, but he's still kind of indecided about what he's going to do going forward, if he's going to quit or if he's going to stick with it. But Viper says, look, man, you got enough points, you can graduate. And I'm like, okay. So he just has to show up. Like, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, just got to graduate. That's all you got to do.
And then he's like, well, you know, maybe I ought to go see Charlie. And then he goes, and she's like sold her house in the last 2 hours since she saw it. It's a for sale sign in the yard, and she's just gone. We find out that she got offered a big job in Washington, D.C. That's big time. All right. That's not out at some podunk air pilot school. You know, she's in a big city.
What job did she get? Is she teaching the planes out there too? What's going on?
She's actually teaching planes directly.
She's teaching the planes now.
Yeah, she's teaching planes. She's learned to speak robot. It's incredible.
That's why she gets paid the big bucks.
So there is a graduation ceremony, and it's all like, oh, dang, is Mav going to show up and graduate? Is he not? Is he going to? People are asking, hey, where's Mav? What's going to happen? He shows up, and he's like, hey. And it's kind of a little bit of salt in the wound. I mean, Iceman's standing there holding the plaque that says Top Gun. He gets a plaque, not a hat. Weird, but we're going to let it go.
Right? Can't believe that.
So we're like, what's Mav going to do? Is he going to walk up and punch him? Like, what's he going to do? He walks up and shakes his hand like a gentleman.
Yeah, it's the first grown-up, mature move I've seen out of him all movie. Let's see how it pans out.
Yeah, well, it pans out because they get sent on a mission. I love the reasoning here. They're like, all right, Iceman, he's our top gun. We got this other guy, that's our second gun. And you, who's clearly struggling with emotional disorders, we're going to send you on a top-secret mission.
He's like, awesome. My girlfriend just left, too.
My girlfriend just left.
I feel great. Let's get up in the skies.
And Tom Skerritt's like, hey, and by the way, if you can't find a co-pilot, I'll go up with you. And which is a pretty nice thing to say, considering like 100% of the guys that have been his co-pilot have died. And he just, Tom Cruise isn't like heartwarmed by that or anything. He just looks confusedly angry.
Yeah, he's like, why do I keep being, I don't want a co-pilot. How much more clear can I be?
Well, they get sent out onto the exact... Basically, he went to Top Gun school and just ended up back on the same aircraft carrier he was on sweating again. Same aircraft carrier.
And what's weird is, like, these guys just graduated, and they're like, all right, freshly graduated, which is good because we have no other Top Guns. All the other guys that graduated before you, dead. So we have to... You're the only we've got for this super secret mission. Thank God you graduated today. Because it's about to get serious.
But you see what I'm saying? Like, he's literally back doing the... Why did he go to school? It's like if you were working at, the local Planet Fitness, and then you went to college and got, like, a PhD in astrophysics, and then you just went back to Planet Fitness. Maybe it makes you happy, but, like, what's the point of going to the greatest school in the world and getting a PhD?
Did you not see the hat and the plaque? Are you forgetting about the hat and the plaque?
I forgot it. You're right. My B. So he gets sent back to the exact same ship that he was on, and they get sent out into a dangerous situation. Apparently, it's some nonsense.
Oh, I'm sorry. They got sent into the danger zone.
Yeah, that does work dangerous better, the dangerous situation.
Into the dangerous situation.
God, I'm not going to cut that out. That's actually cringier than any of the dialogue that Charlie had on the network, but I'm not cutting it out. So they get sent into the danger zone. Apparently there's something with a ship, something or another. There might be MiGs there. That's the gist of what you need to know.
There's been the USS something or another, Enterprise, has been it's stranded.
Yeah.
It's stranded in hostile territory, and it can't move. It's stuck.
Oh,
and they're afraid that MiGs might go bomb it, so they got to go help get it out of there.
So what are the planes going to do? Tow it? Like, you never see the ship.
Well, they're going to protect it.
How are they going to protect? What, are they going to fly around? Are they run out of gas again? Like, what do they do? Okay, you're right.
They're going to protect the airspace.
Okay, all right. Yeah, it's fine. Whatever.
It's an important mission. These are Top Guns.
Yeah, you're right. They've got hats. Have you seen the hats?
They got great hats.
Well, they head out to the ship, except for Mav. They leave him on the, the other guys head on the mission. They leave Mav on the ship as backup. Again, no idea why they would do that, but okay, sure. Guess what? Bogeys show up. And it's like the way this scene plays out, it's like, oh, there's one of them. There's two of them. There's three of them. There's four. There's five. There's 18 of them. Like, they just they keep multiplying. I don't know if they're breeding or what, but man, a dog fight is on. There's a slight escalation here. Like, oh, they're going to shoot at us or not. I don't know. Oh, shoot. They're shooting. We get to fight now.
Yeah.
And
everybody in the control room slathered in Vaseline thick sweat.
So much sweat.
Smoking two cigars at one time. He pulls one out of his mouth, takes a deep breath, shoves the other one into his mouth. Everyone's scared. This is the Cold War's about to happen.
It's so hot in there, and that man's putting fire next to his face. Like, you know, he really needed that cigar. But the fight's on, so they deploy Mav. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. Actually, you know what's funny is in my notes, I started out with like, oh, there's two bogeys. Oh, worse, four. No, five bogeys. Oh, snap. They shoot Hollywood. So apparently Hollywood gets shot. I forgot that.
Oh, man.
Mav is deployed. And then I say, nope, now there are six MiGs. So it just escalates. It's ratcheting tension because this is pulse, pounding, hot, sweaty, dripping, manly on man action. All right. And so the ship can't send up any more pilots for reasons. Okay. So Mav's all the backup they're getting. It's something to do with a catapult. I didn't know the ships had catapults.
Yeah. I mean, it was the '80s. This was about 40 years ago. We were still using trebuchets.
I was trying to think of that word. Thank you, Travis.
You got it, bud.
They just were trying to get the rocks in it. They just couldn't get it weighted right.
The ship was lilting. They had too many on one side.
Well, anyway, ICE is getting swarmed, and Mav, he is just a magnet for jet wash. He flies right through some jet wash.
He loves it. He loves it. It's his favorite thing, which is why everything is his fault, because he keeps flying. He did the same thing twice.
And he somehow manages, like, his plane is, like, flipping around, crashing, all kinds of bad stuff's happening. Somehow he disengages, like, he gets away from the bad guys, takes a minute, and talks to Goose's ghost, I guess. I mean, there isn't an actual ghost on screen, but that's the gist I get, that he's talking to his spirit
They should have named him Ghost. That should have been his name, not Goose.
Oh, that would have been telegraphing too much, dude. Come on. Come on.
Yeah, but it would have to have been Patrick Swayze.
Oh, you know, actually, they actually considered Patrick Swayze for the role of Maverick.
How do you feel like that would have gone?
Awesome. Yeah, I would have
liked Maverick way more if it were Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, you would have definitely been on board. But he, unfortunately, Emilio Estevez, too, apparently. Those were two other actors.
Oh, weird.
And all of them turned it down. They're like, no, we don't want nothing to do with this movie.
Yeah, we want the guy that only has one front tooth to do it. That'll be fun.
He's got unibrow and unitooth. That's great. Well, God, Tom Cruise is going to shut this podcast down. Like, he's got lawyers, man.
Yeah. I mean, was he going to be a guest later this season?
Yeah, well, not now. Great.
Okay, my bad.
I guess we'll have to scratch risky business from this.
Shit.
So anyway, he disengages, and he contacts Goose's ghost. Try saying that five times fast. Don't, because we don't have time. Okay. And it gives him super flying power. So he's back. He's like, boom, he shoots down the first MiG, no problem. Like, that guy wasn't even flying. Like, he was like, are we playing a game right now? And Maverick's like, no, I'm for real, right, you know? And so he takes him out. Then I just put planes do stuff, because it's just planes flying around everywhere shooting at each other.
So many planes. Yeah, upside down all around. And they do a lot of, I mean, to speak a bit about the shooting of the movie, it is really cool. I think for the time, it holds up really well. This looks really awesome. But I think they spent a lot of money getting some B-roll, and it was so awesome, they were like, that's now A-roll. All this is going in. This is awesome.
Yeah, we need just so many planes flying. Well, there's all kinds of plane stuff. Mav is in danger for a second, but he doesn't leave his wingman. How about that?
Finally learned his lesson. And that's what the arc is. We see a guy come all the way through and become a cool guy.
He does become a cool guy. He saves the day. He takes out basically all the MiGs. I don't think Iceman does anything except for, like, cry for Maverick to help him.
I think he got one. I think Iceman does get one.
Oh, okay. One out of six. Not bad, right?
Yeah, not bad.
Actually,
but he did it safely and responsibly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he wouldn't have been alive to do it if Maverick hadn't saved him, but that's fine.
Sure.
Whatever. Rules are made to be broken. So anyway, the remaining MiG or two gets scared and flies away. Mav, of course, buzzes the tower because he's precocious. He's full of himself. The guy spills coffee on himself again. I hate it. I hate that.
That guy's drinking coffee on the brink of World War III at 2 in the afternoon. That's that guy's fault.
That's true. That it's a good time to drink it, though. I mean, if the world's coming to the end, I'd, you know, splash a little bourbon in that coffee.
You want to be awake for it? Yeah, I would say spike it with Ambien. Let's get this over with.
I don't know. I might want to see the bomb dropping. That might be neat. You know, it's like New Year's Eve, but you're dead.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Well, back on the ship, Mav is a hero. He's getting hoisted about. Him and Iceman lock eyes, and we're like, oh, dang, are they going to fight? Are they going to yell at each other? Are they going to disagree? They finally kiss.
Or I was going to say, is Tom Cruise going to open up one of his mouths start kissing?
Just thinking about Tom Cruise.
Is like, I have honestly begun to defile myself. I have just started.
Nice reference. The next scene. Mav is sort of down in the bottom deck. He's went down the bottom deck. And he has Goose's dog tags. He throws them overboard like Rose at Titanic. And you're like, his kids might have wanted those. Like, they might have wanted them to remember their dad by. What are you doing? And also, you're just like, oh, yeah, he was my friend. Nah, forget it. I'm over it.
I mean, I don't know if that's like, I guess maybe that's like an honorable, like, at-sea thing, but I'm like, you just Osama bin Laden our boy. Like, you keep those.
It felt like a slap in the face to Goose's memory.
It did. Like, I don't need you anymore. I'm friends with Iceman now.
Oh, no. We're besties now. I don't need you anymore, Goose, although I miss your mustache.
He lets me kiss it.
Well, anyway, Mav decides apparently he has one successful mission to, like, you know what? You can do anything you want, kid. You can write your ticket. And he's like, I just want to go back to Top Gun. It was the best times of my life. And so he heads back and he's in a bar and music starts playing from the old jukebox. A little reminiscent tune, a little bit of Lost That Loving Feeling. And he looks around, he's like, that's weird. Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe I'll go in this other room. And he walks in the other room, and guess what? Boom. Charlie's there.
Aww.
For reasons. She's like, you know what? I don't need to be a successful woman in my field. I think I'd just rather be married to Tom Cruise.
And once again, she greets him as, hello, Pete Mitchell.
And he's like, oh, could you call me Maverick?
Yeah. She's like, no.
And he's like, well,
actually, I don't know what she says. I don't know what happens right there.
Yeah. Something along those lines. That's the gist of what I got. But that's it, man. Mercifully, they don't kiss. Mercifully, I don't have to sit through another kiss. And that's it, man. You get the credits. You get that beautiful sunrise, whatever it is. There's sun. There's airplanes.
The great sun going in or out. And you get the lyricless Take My Breath Away as the sun. It's just... I mean, beautifully shot, beautiful movie. You know,
but
honestly,
let
well
me
done.
Ask you this: now that we've went back through the plot, what do you think of the movie now?
I mean, it's still just
it's so dumb.
It's so dumb. It's not a highbrow movie, but there are parts of it. It is pop culture. It is a very important movie for the 80s. It's an important movie for action movies. It's an important movie for Tom Cruise. A lot of these guys' careers is catapulted from this film. So, I mean, I like it because you can't escape it even today. And I enjoy like every gif of the high five and the movie is memed to death still. And it's what you think it is. It is just dudes flying planes and being cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I think for me, it's once every 15 years is about right for this movie. Like, I think that just lands about right. That's all I need to see it. But when I watch it every 15 years or so, I'm like, you know what? That was a fun movie. That's some fun stuff that happens in that movie.
And the soundtrack is great. Those songs still hold up.
Oh, yeah,
I love. I get my 80s tingles from that. A lot of great actors in this, though. Ironsides, Garrett, a lot of guys that, you know, are really underappreciated here, doing a good job. But Tom Cruise just gets under my skin. I don't think Maverick is the righteous hero. I think Iceman gets a little crap. I think he's a little more of a good guy, a little more of a hero than he, just because he's got blonde spiky hair during the day when that insignified bully on screen, he gets a bad rap.
I mean,
he's awesome.
I'll be honest. Both of them are kind of, you know what? They're conflicted characters. They're not a straight line, you know? And as you get older, you look at it and you go like, hey, you know, Iceman had some points. I mean, Maverick should have slowed down a little bit, but maybe Iceman need to loosen up a little bit too, because sometimes, you know, you think up there, you die, but what do I know?
Maybe.
But who cares?
Maybe.
Travis, who cares what
you
we
smash
think?
Them together, and maybe you get a good pilot.
Well, that's why they work so well together. They're like, like ketchup and mustard, peas and carrots, Fred Durst and Aaron Lewis.
Okay. That one.
All right. Well, who cares what we think, Travis? How about those post-credit reviews? What do the people think?
Yeah, so, you know, we save a few reviews for the end here after we've talked through the movie, because some of them might hit harder after Kevin and I have just destroyed the plot.
Right.
This first one here is a 4 stars from Wes, and Wes says, the soundtrack and the fact that Goose and Maverick are in love cured my flu. So this movie's out there healing people, Kevin.
It's powerful medicine. Very powerful medicine. Use it sparingly once every 15 years.
Yeah, for sure. Then we got James here, 2.5 stars. He says, I might be the only person who's ever noticed this, but this movie has gay undertones? Lots of question marks?
Yeah, you went up with the questions on there at the end. Did you notice it on this recap of the plot?
Yeah, I there's something under the surface, I think.
If you were going to pick two characters in the movie to get married, what two characters would it be?
Maverick and Iceman.
Yeah, they just got that tension. They just got that tension, and I don't know what it is.
Maverick does that bite at him, that little fake bite, and I think that's him signifying to Maverick, like, I've seen you kiss, and I like what I see when you do it, because it's a lot of teeth.
Yeah, I thought for a sec, there were a couple times when they were, like, getting each other's, like, Val Kilmer's character, Iceman was just going to reach over and sort of, like, brush Maverick's hair behind his ears, and I was like, I'm here for it. Like, I want that.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have too.
As long as they stop short of the tongue kissing, as long as there's no lick kissing going on, I'm okay with it. But I can't do Tom Cruise kissing people. So
I haven't seen the sequel. Don't spoil it for me. But I'm hoping it happens there.
Okay, fingers crossed.
And then we have a half star from Prima Donna Lass. Okay.
Okay.
And they say Tom Cruise following me into a bathroom is now my greatest fear in life.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Like, every time I lock the door, even if I'm at home by myself and I go in the bathroom, I lock the door just to be sure, you know?
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm going to walk into my living room and he's just going to be jumping on my couch. I'm so scared of him.
Oh, he loved Katie Holmes.
Him with his little feet, his little tiny feet.
Oh, man. Well, hey, you know what? On a budget of $15 million, Top Gun went on to earn $357 million worldwide. Now, that's in, like, 1986 money, which is probably, like, $1 jillion, right? That is a win. I mean, it was like the top movie that year, I believe. But if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong, and I don't care. I just
it has to be the top movie. Name another movie from 1986. There's no way you can. Pretty Woman, maybe.
Risky Business. No, it's not.
Was that in 86? No. Did he get Risky Business?
No, he did Risky Business before this one. I'm pretty sure. Anyway,
Hoosiers.
What's that? Hoosier? Oh, that's a good one. That's
Hoosiers,
Gene Hackman, right?
Highlander, Little Shop of Horrors came out that year.
Oh, dang, dude. Highlander's way better than Top Gun.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
That's another one I haven't seen. Oh, The Wraith. The Wraith takes the cake, baby. That's
pretty good. Is that the deep sea one? No, that's Leviathan I'm thinking of.
No, it's a Charlie Sheen flick where they're doing cars. It's basically Top Gun in cars.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
We've got to watch. Get it in the bin. Is it in the bin?
I don't know,
call
man.
Doug.
I'll check it out. Well, anyway, it went on to earn $357 million worldwide, and it made it easier for fighter pilots to seem cool because they seemed so lame before this movie, right? Fighter pilots? Okay. Yeah, all right. They were already cool. But while Tom Cruise was no stranger to hit movies, having starred Risky Business, came before, The Outsiders, and a few other films before this. But see, Top Gun was what launched Cruise into the stratosphere of movie stardom. All right. Without Top Gun, you'd have never had Tom Cruise hopping on that couch in front of Oprah, or good or ill. All right, that's just the way it is. All right, now the film has a lasting legacy of setting the template for a lot of those high-velocity action films to follow, and it even managed to produce a sequel more than 30 years later, I believe 36 to be exact, that generated a box office of, watch this, $1.4 billion worldwide.
Wow.
That's a lot. That's a lot of money. Now, I want you to know, today, that film is still quoted, referenced, and responsible for more than a few shirtless volleyball games.
Insane. 1.4. So Maverick made. Do you say Maverick made $1.4 billion?
Yeah, worldwide.
So the first movie made $1.4 billion.
No. First Top Gun, $357 million.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I mean in today's money.
Oh.
I just looked it up. It's 1.4 million.
That's
so 1.004,
I guess. That's a conversion rate. 357 million's worth 1
Yeah.
Billion. Wow.
Yeah, a little over 1 billion. Yeah. So they're pretty close.
Yeah. Man, that's impressive.
Not to turn this into math class, Kev, but well said altogether, dude. I agree. It's got a legacy, for sure.
Yeah, right on, man. Well, Trev, now how about a little hint for what we're going to be covering on our very next episode?
Well, I would like to give you a hint, but I'm distracted by this thing that's crawling across my screen. I keep swatting at it, but I can't get it to go away. Keeps landing on there.
Well, I hope it doesn't
get a swatter or something to go after or something. don't know what it is. Are you seeing it? Is it in my? Is it on my screen or in my room?
Yeah. It's like buzzing around and stuff. Yeah. Hopefully it'll larva you alone.
Ah. Yeah, I hope so.
If you enjoyed this episode, you might like our other podcasts. You can catch me on the Tabletop Gaming Podcast, Blue Peg, Pink Peg. You can find Trav on a lot of the great podcasts here on the Polymedia Network. Tales of the Lesser Medium. We got Goosebumps and, I don't know, too many podcasts to mention here because I'm kind of tired. You can catch Trav and maybe me on stage with Big Lit Conspiracy if you're in the Roanoke area. If you want to keep this podcast heading to the danger zone, support the Polymedia Network on Patreon. We've also got to thank our pal Harvest Black for that high-flying theme music. And just like our Uncle Doug always says,
I feel the need.
The need for speed.
Oh, you threw me for a loop. I was like, all right, we're getting nasty.